Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section. Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Chapter 35 of Sefer Yishayahu. This is the final chapter in a section starting with Chapter Kaf Chet, which was not so messianic. Most of the prophecies really deal with the realities and the troubles of the coming of Ashur, bad geopolitics, the devastation which will surely come, and finally the salvation for the Jewish people and for the land of Yehuda. And that is exactly what we're getting in this chapter, a true salvation, to a certain extent a messianic salvation for the Jewish people. In chapter 33, in what I believe is a description of the literal situation found by the scouts and messengers, the Er Elam and the Malachim, as they look for aid in the face of the oncoming armies of Ashur, we read as follows: Aval umlala aretz hechpir levanon kamal haya hasharon ka'arava v'no'er bashan v'charmel. It describes various places in the land of Israel. The Lebanon will be completely dried up. The Sharon, the area between, say, the coastal area between Tel Aviv and Haifa, will be dry like the Arava. The Arava is the desert land that surrounds the Jordan River or the Jordan Valley Rift on both sides. V'no'er Bashan v'Charmel, and the Bashan, which is the Golan Heights, and the Charmel, which is probably Haifa and the Galil Tachton, the Lower Galilee, will be stripped clean. Following that description of a stripped, plundered, dried-out land of Israel came a promise or confidence that God would arise and save the day. Ata akum yomar Adonai, ata e romeim, ata e naseh. Following this is a glorious, nearly utopian description of Yerushalayim. That's in chapter 33. In chapter 34, what we have is a chapter where God lays waste to Edom. There it was difficult to say how that applied to the coming of Ashur, so we gave three possibilities. One is that's the future time of the Mashiach, which is where most Mephoshim go. One possibility is that it is a slightly future prophecy describing the actual fall of the temple by Babel and how Edom will be punished for that. And the other possibility was Ibn Jikatila's, as cited by Ibn Ezra, that when Ashur would come, not only would it destroy Israel, but it would destroy Edom as well, and that's being described in chapter 34. Now that we get to chapter 35, what we have is that utopian dream that not only does Yerushalayim come back to life, but that the land of Israel comes back to life, and they build it better than it was before. Yisusum midbar v'tzia v'tagel arava v'tifrach kachavat salet. Paroach tifrach v'tagel af gilat v'ranein. Kavod halavanon itan la hadar ha-karmel v'ha-sharon. Hema yir'ug chivod Adonai hadar Eloheinu. So if you notice, a lot of the lands and regions that were cited as being laid waste in chapter 33 are now back and better than ever, and we'll see that it goes even a step beyond that. But we have the Arava, we have the Levanon, we have the Carmel, we have the Sharon. To simply translate, the desert and the wastelands will be glad, and the Arava will rejoice and blossom like a rose. It, the Arava, which, as I said, is the desert area surrounding the Jordan Valley Rift, will surely blossom, even rejoice and sing out. The glory of the Lebanon will be given to it, that is, given to the Arava, as will the splendor of the Carmel and the Sharon. They will see, or they will be seen as, Yeru is either they will see or they will be seen as, the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. The sense is that all the places that were stripped bare, the Lebanon, the Carmel, the Sharon, all of them are coming back in their glory. But beyond that, they're so overflowing that even the formerly dry areas, the Arava and the desert, which is probably the Negev in southern Israel, which are supposed to be dry, even they are teeming with growth and life and flora and fauna. Essentially, what we have here is land reclamation. God, through Yeshayahu, promises all this and calls to Israel to be steadfast in the face of the enemy. Because don't forget, this is just a prophecy of the future. Right now, it's probably less than a year away, and the forces of Ashur are coming. Rashi thinks that the following calls, which are Chazku and Imru and Ametsu, are calls to other prophets. That is, Yeshayahu is asking other prophets to come and help. However, I think that it's really the job of a prophet, and the job of Yeshayahu is to help his charges help themselves. So the pasuk reads like this, and I would translate a little differently than Rashi. Chazku yadayim rafot uvirkayim koshalot ameitzu imru lenim harelev chizku al tirau hine Eloheichem nakam yavo gmul Elohim hu yavo v'yosha'achem. Strengthen the hands of the weak and make firm the knees of the unsteady. And again, I think Yeshayahu is calling out to his fellow Jerusalemites to be steadfast in the fact that the war is coming. Say to those who are quick to despair, be strong, don't fear, see your God's vengeance will come. So too will the recompense come, that is, the recompense for all the pain that they're suffering. He himself will come and save you all. I translated Nimharim here, the ones who are quick to despair. The word is maher, so Nimharim are the ones who are quick to do something. I think here, quick to despair, based on the context, which is it's telling them not to fear. However, in chapter 32, we met Nimharim, and these were ones to rush to bad plans. They were impetuous and unwise in their speediness. Specifically, they were running to Egypt for help. Now, this prophecy probably comes right before the onslaught of Ashur. So maybe those hasty and unheedful people, those Nimharim, were promised knowledge and good sense in chapter 32, but that was 2 years before. Now they need to acquire bravery because they see their plans are collapsing all around them. Az tipakachna ine ivrim v'ozne chereshim tipatachna. Then the eyes of the blind will come to see, i.e. they will understand, and the ears of the deaf will open up. Remember, these, I think, are the blind and deaf from chapter 6, from Perek Vav, the ones who refuse to identify that God is in charge of essentially current events, and they're rendered deaf and blind because they disassociate themselves from God. So now the prophet is promising that they will reassociate. But it's possible that these are people who are actually blinded and deafened by those who lead them astray, by those nobles who led them the wrong way. And now they'll come back into the light and back into the sound. Az yidaleg ka'ayal piseach v'taron l'shon ilayim. Then the lame will skip like deer, and the tongue of the speechless will sing out. Taron is the future feminine for ronein or rina, to sing out, in this case of joy. And why will they sing out and skip to my loo? Ki nivku'u v'amidbar mayim unchalim ba'arava. When, or because, the deserts will burst forth with water, and the arava will burst forth with rivers, just turn on that tap and watch the water flow. So we really have something which is beyond the natural. It's not just that the formerly rich lands will come back, but the unrich lands will also become rich lands. V'haya ha-sharav la'agam v'tzima'on l'mabu'i mayim b'nevei tanim rivtzah chatzir l'kanevi gome. Taking the miracle of the land reclamation a step further, we say that not only the dry lands, but the scorched earth, the sharav, will become a pool, and the parched land, the tzimaon, will be full of bubbling or live water. And the land of the jackals, those are the tanim, with a mem, sofit, or perhaps replacing the land of the jackals, there will be pasture, rivtsa, and a field, a chatzer, or chatzir, for reeds and for rushes. And now the Torah describes the road back from the exile, now that the land is lush with life, so that not only are the rich lands flowering and have flora and fauna, but even the desert the deserted lands where one would only expect to pick up sand, one now has flowers and trees growing and running water there as well. So once we're finished with that, we're now talking about the road that the Torah describes for those who are coming back from exile. Now, the fact that we're talking about returning exiles, people who were in exile, It's tempting to put this prophecy during the return from Babel, or even during Messianic times, the Reshit Smichat Geulatam. But don't forget that there were a lot of people who were and would be exiled by Ashur itself. Not only the 10 tribes that were exiled by a previous Ashur king, Assyrian king, but many people from Yehuda were exiled as well. The numbers are recorded in Sancheyriv's own records, although don't be surprised if you don't find those numbers here. It's too depressing, and the Navi avoids it by only mentioning it in a few psukim. The loss of so many of Israel to slavery, of which many would never return, is an incredibly sad thing, and the Torah really doesn't want to spend some time on it. So even if this prophecy is in the time of Ashur, which I believe it is, there are plenty of refugees and exiles who would need to come home, and that's true in every exile. V'haya sham maslul v'derech v'derech ha-kodesh yikare la lo ya'avrenu tamei v'hu lamo holech derech ve'ev vilim lo yit'u. And there, in the desert, or on the way to Jerusalem, there will be a path and a road. The reason why it says path and road, maslul v'derech, is probably a road of handling mass immigration, a major highway. And it will be called a holy road, where the defiled will not cross. Probably the defiled are the oppressing nations, but no doubt it's also a call to the returnees to purify themselves as they come home and go up to holy Yerushalayim. And it, that is the road, will be for them a road for travelers where even the foolish, Evilim, cannot go astray, lo yit'u. Lo yihi yasham aryeh ufritz chayot bal ya'alena lo tim matzei sham. Vehalachu geulim. Neither will there be lions on that road, nor will savage animals go up there. Nothing like that will be found there. Rather, the redeemed will travel there. Ufduye Adonai yishuvun. Uvaud Sion birina v'simchat olam al rosham. Sason v'simcha yasigu v'nasu yagon v'anacha. Indeed, the Lord's rescuees will return. And they will come to Zion in joyous song and eternal happiness above their heads. They will find gladness and happiness even while sorrow and sighing flee. And to add my own text, Kein Yihi Ratzon Bimhira Biyamenu.